there's no one who is living through life right now who's not facing some type of stress. It's the question, is it ongoing? Is it continuing living in a state of that? That changes the organization and structure of your brain, making it difficult to think, feel, and choose what's best, and downregulates the immune system. So you're more susceptible to sickness and disease.
Imagine a home where reading, creating, and learning happen naturally. The all-new resource from Classical Conversations, Scribblers at Home, Recipes from Lifelong Learners, is designed to help parents of children ages 4 to 8 cultivate these habits into simple daily rhythms inside the home. Through step-by-step activities, Scribblers at Home will be your guide to teach your child the basic skills of learning while having fun along the way. To learn more, go to scribblersathome.com/joe.
Well, an absolute favorite is on the show today. She's been on before and it was, fire on the hottest level. I don't even think that makes sense, fire on the hottest level. But you just know if you heard the show. Alisa Keaton, founder of Revelation Wellness, author, speaker, my friend. Hi, Alisa.
Hi, Lisa. I just got done doing a little social media, like a story, because I woke up this day. I'm like, oh, I get to be with Lisa. That's fun. And then I thought about the last time we were together. I'm like, oh, and that's a little dangerous. This should be a good time. I went on my stories and I said, you got to go listen to our last interview that you came on my show. And
yes, we did. We basically, what happens with Alisa and I, we just swap talking about dangerous things when we are on each other's shows. It's because Alisa and I both feel very passionately about several things. Jesus, helping women just experience freedom in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that centers a lot on something that Alisa has been talking about for a long time, things revolving around the body, but much deeper than that. Alisa has really been helping me in my life do that as well in recent years. And so I'm just grateful for our friendship and just all the things that we talk about with the Lord. Yeah. So I want to say this right at the top. We're going to be talking very honestly about issues surrounding health and wellness and tender subjects like eating disorders and other things similar that I really feel need to be talked about to some degree. So I need you to know that if you're listening going in, just want you to be aware, especially if you are listening with children in the room, because sometimes people listen to with children in the car or in the room. And so we're going to be talking about some tender subjects. So you're the parent of those kids and you need to parent them in the way that you see fit. So I wanted to give you that little disclaimer at the top of the show. Okay. So how are you feeling, Alisa, in your body yourself? Because sometimes you are so good to help everyone else. But how are you feeling in your body? Because you struggled some, I was back some months ago with vertigo and things like that. Oof. How are you feeling?
One thing that leads back to how I'm feeling is one thing that we also have shared zeal for is healthy leadership. Health in the church. Health in the church that isn't about the body. But the body is part of the health of anything we do. You can't just show up and get scripture for your mind. It's for your whole self, heart, mind, soul, strength. So I had a episode of vertigo, 3 months ago? And it totally came off of stress. Leadership, this pressure of leading stuff, of feeling responsible and connected, all the meetings and things that are accessible to us now because of the internet, I was overstretched. And I didn't think I was overstretched. And that's how stress works. And that's really what the book, The Body Revelation, I go after the chronic stress, the stressful environments we were either raised in or the ones we put ourselves in now unknowingly, like how you boil a frog. It just slowly happens. And I didn't know that I was boiling. I thought I was doing okay. Although if I'd paid attention to my body a little bit more, I would have noticed my neck starting to hurt a lot all the time. But I thought, oh, I'm just, you know, I just, it's being at the computer all day. It's like, it's just okay. And then I would move my body and kind of release it. And then I'd get back into it again. And so that what ended up happening was the vertigo came off of that the cervical spine being really condensed and pressed pushes on the vestibular nerve, which is responsible for helping you to, you know where you are in space. And yeah, I went for not a cruise ship ride, like it was a battleship. The whole room just spin 360 up, down for about 5 to 10 minutes. And it was humbling and I never want to do it again. And it was a wake up call that I had to, things had to change for me, my schedule, my pace.
One of the things I think that happens to us when our body, I'm just going to say it like this, doesn't cooperate with us, because what I think often happens when we come to a place where we realize, oh, if I don't, whatever, fill in the blank, if I don't slow down, if I don't pay attention to the to my body that is giving me signals, because most of the time you're right, Elisa, our body is trying to tell us in ways, hey, you're headed for disaster in this way, or something else is going to happen in this way if you don't pay attention. Mm. It's interesting when we have something happen and we realize that we are not in complete control ever, right? Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, our bodies sometimes don't cooperate with us in the way that we want. I think it's really healthy and helpful for people mm-hmm. to hear from a certified wellness professional of 20 yeah. years.
30 years. They're all going on 35. Yeah.
30 years. Okay. I'm sorry. Let me give you the cred, because that is a long time to be doing this. But really, though, someone who helps a lot of other people, I think it's very helpful and healthy to hear from someone who says, hey, you know, I came to a barrier myself. My body doesn't always do what I want it to do. Mm-mm. And to be humble in that and to be able to share that is really important, because none of us are always operating at the level that we want to operate at. And we are all created with capacity. And it's super important to acknowledge that. So thank you for sharing that. Really, really important. And one of the things that you said that I find very important for all of us to understand and realize is we've got to pay attention to our bodies.
Yeah.
They're just talking to us constantly. Yes. I talked about that in the book, The Hard Good. I also have experienced that for myself when, you know, your back is continuously hurting.
Come on.
It's telling you something. It's telling you get up and move. It's telling you. Now, you know, I understand people have other issues at play. I'm not saying it's always telling you that. But for me, and for I think a lot of other people, it's saying you're too sedentary, things like that. And so I appreciate you sharing that.
Can I ask, because I know your listeners love you so and think of you as a friend, a companion in their day.
Yeah.
What has God been showing you about your body? Oh, what's going on?
It is really important what he's been showing me, because one of the things that I think we sometimes don't talk about as much is the body part of the body, mind, and spirit, right? So we talk about the mind and spirit a lot here, but the body aspect has been slower for me. And the Lord has been showing me that it is very important that I honor that part. You know, I've sat, Elisa, and you know this, and been writing for a lot of the last 3 years, been serving people with words in books and in Bible studies. But yet my body in many ways has been sacrificed to do so. Yeah. But yet the Lord has never called us to break down our bodies for the sake of the gospel. Mm. That's not a way to live. It's not an either or. We are to honor our bodies even while we do that. That is also service, right? Mm. So we have to look at our bodies as a body, mind, and spirit totality. Yes. And so for me, I realized that I had been neglecting the temple, the body part. And for a long time, Elisa, what I had been doing was looking at my body as I just want to look a certain way, aesthetics. And it wasn't, I want to move as a way to glorify God. And so that is a shift. And so I hope people will understand that it is a way that you serve the Lord in your ability to move. If you have the ability to move your body, you need to do that, which is what your book, The Body Revelation, is really the core of it, is all about that. As you move unto your Creator who has created you with the gifts and the abilities to do that, right?
Yeah. And can I also say too that it's not just like move as in worship, because sometimes when we think about worship, we think it's very spiritual, like it's this outer body thing. It's actually a very inner body thing. When we worship, it shifts the chemistry of our body, when we are, feel connected to God. There's actually a recent study I read, it was actually came out in 2021, that people who have a relationship with God would call themselves, you know, faith-seeking people, feel connected to God, have a better body image, which yeah. really is about how I see myself. Body image isn't about how the world sees me, like what image I project to the world. That's the ideal. That's the world's image of body image. I got to look good for the world. Body image is really about how do I see myself? And when we feel connected to God, we're better to see ourselves. So it is this, when you move your body, get in a body, think about the body, care about your body, not obsess about it, not worship it, but just remember you are a body. You are a body. Yeah. And when you do that unto the Lord, Lord, I want to connect with you. I want to hear from you. It also is neuroscientifically factual that we can re-architect our brain. And so I talk about this in the book about the stress that we live through, whether it's a capital T, overwhelming, stressful moment, trauma, capital T trauma, natural disasters, sudden death of a loved one, your body being held against your will, or little t traumas or troubles or adversity like bullying, shame, divorce, financial crisis. I mean, name it all. There's no one who is living through life right now who's not facing some type of stress. It's the question, is it ongoing? Is it continuing, living in a state of that? That changes the organization and structure of your brain, making it difficult to think, feel, and choose what's best, and downregulates the immune system. So you're more susceptible to sickness and disease. So in the book, I'm trying to help people understand the fact that you know what's right to do and still struggle to do it is not that you lack spiritual willpower or you're a terrible Christian failing and you know, you're just not spiritual enough. It really is that there is some mental reorganization. The brain has been darkened. I think of Romans 1, where it says their foolish minds were darkened. They worshiped and served created things rather than Creator God. And God created our bodies not to be worshiped, but it's part of the worship experience. And I just think we haven't talked about it in the church really well with because of diet culture. And I'm really here to say, let's take back that ground. Come on. I really believe if the body of Christ gets into her body and becomes a body and a whole person, stops thinking about their body as the way it looks or how it should look and getting caught up in the world constructs, man, y'all, we would be hosting the Holy Spirit in a place of peace in our sanctuary and out about doing the thing we've been called to do without being overwhelmed by the stress, persecution, or the pushback that we will get in the world. So I'm here to Yes. train us for the body of Christ.
I love this because one of the things that I think is super powerful about what you're talking about and what you're doing and what the Lord has really called me into in a deeper way with really a lot of your influence is, you know, not compartmentalizing this anymore. It's, I think for too long, what we've done, Alisa, is compartmentalized. Here is the part of my life that I am working on. And when I say working on, it's like almost obsessing over many times, which is the body, whether it be a negative self-image of your body, whether it be, you know, an unhealthy diet culture, whatever, whether it even be exercising, maybe over-exercising, you know, whether it's healthy or not healthy, the way that you're doing it, you still might compartmentalize it over here, right? You put it in a category of your life. And then over here is my relationship with the Lord. And so we've looked at it in two different compartments. And what you're saying, and what I think is so powerful is this, no, it is literally seeing it, the whole picture, which is that we are created body, mind, spirit. We know this, we quote it, but we don't truly believe it. If we did, we would treat our bodies completely differently. We would look Wow. at it completely differently. Yeah. We would absolutely not do more than half of what we do in the way that we approach this. So, okay, now we've gotten warmed up, so now we can get into some of the trickier waters here.
Let's go.
You know I hate hype, and one of the things I hate is the hype culture when it comes to our bodies. I'm just really adverse to a lot of this because what happens with hype, it's like a poof. It's like a puff of smoke and it goes away. And what I find is that with most things with hype, I wouldn't say all, but I'll leave a little room for some kind of reason here, okay? Because mm-hmm. you know I'm definitive with my stuff. But what happens with hype, I don't care whether it's a camp experience where you experience God and then but it doesn't go deep and you come home and you don't stick with it, or whether it's a diet, or whether it's you're on the bandwagon of something. I don't care what it is. Anytime hype is involved, mm-hmm. what that suggests is it doesn't really transfer. There's not really a heart change. There's not really, it's surface stuff. And so I think we've been through too much, especially as women with our bodies, mm-hmm. to be told, girl, just go pose in that bathing suit on a beach and just flaunt it all and be proud of that body. And those scars from comments that someone made to us in junior high school, or the pain from that eating disorder that we struggle with, you know, just poof, it's going to go away if I post a picture of myself in a bathing suit on the beach with my cellulite. All of a sudden, that's going to help that. Now, let me just say this. If for you, you've done that and somehow that gives you freedom and because you've been to counseling then that's a different scenario. But I'm just saying this hype culture that suggests that just a picture is going to help me from the scars from my boyfriend in eighth grade telling me that I was a little chubby around the waist. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to do the trick. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you feel about hype culture with this whole thing.
Woo, that's such a good point. Oh, I love this. It is tricky, right? Because if I do the opposite, someone's told me my thighs are whatever, not attractive, I'm going to take a moment and show everyone my thighs. That's real. That feels real to someone. That's taking a stand. And I'm not here to say that's a bad thing, but it will not be the thing that will sustain, because then you have to do it again and again and again to feel like I'm finally getting my voice back. I just came back from a World Wellness Convention, and it was fascinating because for the first time ever, and I've gone to this conference for 35 years, there was they were talking about body positivity, inclusivity, and I was like, I'm going to attend that workshop. And I went, and the woman was large, like a large size woman like standing on stage with a cane and saying, this body is good. Don't tell me this body isn't good. And you could tell she was teaching from her pain. She was trying to say, don't tell me this is good. She was showing pictures of, and the truth is the body is, it's good. The body, the fact that woman can still stand and do everything we do, it's a good design. But when we try to say this is good and this is good based on what we see, that is distraction, because the Lord's not actually, he looks at the heart. But because of social media and the culture we now live in, so much imagery all the time, we're kind of trying to fight back with this image. And it's really a distraction. I agree with that. I'm not here to say, hey, take a picture of yourself if you want, but you will always have to keep doing that in order to maintain, if that feels like it's connected to your freedom. You're getting lost at the main thing. The main thing is there is this secrecy with Christ. There is this the modesty. When I think modesty, I don't think like cover up, you know, make yourself no skin seen. I think of a humble heart. I think of a meek heart that I don't need to proclaim this in order for it to be real for me. I know it because I'm known by God, and I have a community of people that also I'm known by them. I don't need to be known by the world. I don't need to make a massive statement in order for me to have freedom.
Okay. I also have feelings about something else, and it's more than feelings. It is actually, I have a stance on this, and you can disagree with me. I want to make this disclaimer just because these are my considerations. These are my, I don't want to say feelings, because they are more than feelings. These are sort of my convictions about these things. That doesn't mean they're Elisa's, by the way. Well, you may disagree on this. We've not talked about this, but I have something that I want to get your take on. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about compliments in this sense when it comes to body. Okay. So here's what I have observed through my many years of life, because I ain't young anymore. When people have been working out, lost weight, whatever, however they've lost weight, I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And someone says, girl, you look so good. You've lost weight.
Wow.
I don't know that I love that. And here's why. Because it triggers thoughts in us like skinnier is better. They've noticed I was fat before, or yeah, I was overweight before. I'm more valuable and noticeable and beautiful thin. Yep. And I just wonder, Alisa, if we should avoid that compliment altogether. Now, I'm going to tell you an argument on the other side, because there is mm-hmm. one. Because mm-hmm. I have a friend who worked really hard on a fitness goal. She worked really hard. And her argument is, I've worked really hard, and it is super motivating to hear that it's working, which I understand that on one level, but I'm concerned about what the compliments feed. What are your thoughts?
Yes, we 100% agree on this one. We land on the same place, because it is this measurement of the outside. Like, it continues to feed that I'm being measured by what I see. People see me and they either think I look good, or think, are they affirming what I already know about myself, or affirming what I'm wanting for myself? It's back to that outside measurement. So I'm 100%, you will never ever hear me go up to someone and be like, knowing they lost weight, knowing whatever they've done, and go, wow, you look great. I just won't. I will give them a hug and I'll be, I'm so glad to see you. How are you feeling? And also do this more of a, it's joy being around you. Like, whatever it is, it's more about who they are, not what they look like. So I would highly encourage people to stay away from that. Now, when it comes to the friend who feels like you're, that's kind to them, that's actually, as much as I understand that can feel kind for them because it's affirming their hard work, it actually is setting it up, because they won't be able to maintain that, whatever it is, whatever physical goal you've achieved, it's not sustainable because you're aging. Everything is moving against us. We cannot hold to one specific measure of health. It's actually demonic. I believe it's a ploy of the enemy to make you think you've got to hit that sweet spot and keep it. And that's what happens with all physical goals. People hit it if they get, I mean, look at The Biggest Loser, that whole era we came out of.
Yes.
They get applauded and rewarded, and they feel, ah, oh, it's worth all that hard work. Look at me. It can't be sustained.
Hype.
And
so it was hype.
It's hype. And then it compounds the shame later when yeah. it does change, because seasons change, life changes, our body changes, sickness comes. We are jars of clay, but the treasure, call yeah. out the treasure in people. That I'm here for the treasure and the jar of clay. Let's do whatever we can to care for it. But when someone's esteem is based on that, we're actually not being a great friend to feed into that. That's my opinion.
Okay. So here's what I think is clear. When we do things like take quick fix approaches, I'm not mm-hmm. talking about you got medical reasons why you need
right.
medicine.
There's moments for intervention.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's moments for intervention. That's a good way to say it. I'm talking about when we are simply seeking a quick payoff for the aesthetic, and because mm-hmm. our goal is thinner mm-hmm. and thinner, because we mm-hmm. want people to see us as looking a certain way. We aren't proud of ourselves. We don't feel a certain way. We want people to esteem us based on a certain body size, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are focused on a payoff. Here's what I just want us to start considering more of: the price. Because, Alisa, I implore women to think of the price to young women. Women our age, why are we not considering more the price to the young women that are watching us? And make no mistake, young women are watching us. I have a 20-year-old young woman who lives in my home. Mm. And I can't undo some of the damage she has watched, undoubtedly, through the years. But I can help moving forward.
Amen.
And we have young women that we are called, according to Scripture, to be mentors to. That means not just biblically, scripturally, that means not just sitting down, cracking open a Bible and saying, here's how you have a daily quiet time, but it's also is here's how you honor God with your body. And I yes. think we're missing this piece of yes. it. I yes. also think we're not considering the price to our minds, because what I have noticed is there are a lot of women who are, I mean, I can think of three right off the top of my head that have taken quick pills for these vanity pounds. And we talked about this on your show, to lose vanity pounds. And they are now honestly in a spiral of saying, I got to lose more weight. And they're in single digit clothes.
Yeah.
So what is it doing to our mind to send us into perhaps a different way to develop an eating disorder from this place?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think we are in I'm excited about the time we're in, Lisa. I really do, especially coming back from that wellness conference where it's like, wow, it's really polarized now. The world is polarized in terms of, well, no, we really want thin. So diet culture is still around. There's still some plan or something you can do to lose weight, a pill you can take. That is not going anywhere. And the world is also going, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Look how my body is great. I'm doing good. Meanwhile, I can't, you know, move well. I do have low energy, whatever it is. So there is this polarization going on, because back to your saying about how we are the generation coming up is watching us. Mm. And we are a generation who lived through, it's like those who lived through smoking. Like, we lived through the most implosive time of diet toxicity. You were birthed into it. I was birthed into it. Yeah. And so we kind of can't go, you know, we made mistakes. We made mistakes with our children. We did not know any better. But now that we know better, we can do something new. Our girls, I always say, we get well, they go free. If we get well, and that has a lot to do with owning, man, I got that wrong. So you can go to Shay and just, man, I bought the lie. Yeah. And I've done this with my daughter, maybe not so much with my body. I was always very conscious of this from a very young age. I think because I saw the sickness of diet culture before I had children. That's when Revelation Wellness was kind of birthed. Like, this is not going anywhere. I was already seeing the patterns develop. So mm-hmm. I didn't do that with my daughter about my body. I've always been very, and she has no body images, but I had my own sickness with other things, about control, about fear, things that my abuse, my woundedness to my soul that I passed on to her. And it's never too late. I want every mama who hears me, and if you're a man, a husband, you're listening, it's never too late to say, we are riding this ship. We're turning it around. And one person's yes to the gospel meaning of our body changes generations. It can break off. And you're absolutely right, Lisa. Now what we do, what we say, how we steward, how we live does give our children something new. And I also want to say to mamas, maybe if you could do it over again, especially if you have a young child, and this is something you and I didn't get, Lisa, I can probably guarantee we did not get this in our youth. When your child has a fit or is crying or is having their outburst or is bullied at school or whatever it is, help them also to tend to their body. Talk to their body. How are you feeling? Where do you feel it in your body? Or when they're having a tantrum, I can feel your heart beating. You're safe with me. Do you feel the warmth of my skin? Like, talk to them with some language that is embodiment, not just all about their heads and their emotions, because that's how we begin to disintegrate, because we don't feel safe in our body. So helping our kids feel regulated in their body, just take a breath, you know, whatever it is we can do to help them care and honor their body and know that there is a cost. There is a cost.
And what about the shame? Because one of the things that you talk about in really, I mean, you talk about this all the time, but is our childhood effects. This is so crucial. Mm-hmm. I remember my precious grandmother I love her so much and I loved her so much, but I remember her looking at me when I was about probably 14 years old, and I was eating chips, and I was eating them right out of the bag. Mm. And she said to me, you know, you're not always going to be able to sit and eat chips like that. And Elisa, that was the first time that I remember having a weird association with food.
Food.
And thinking, oh, there's something wrong with eating chips out of a bag. I didn't know that. And I got that message very loud and clear, like, chips are bad to eat and you are bad to eat them. And at some point, you and Chips will have to break up. You will not be able to eat Chips. So what is it about programming that perhaps, because I know probably everyone listening had some type of interaction like that at a young age in some way, a shame moment that was attached to some type of thing with food. What do we do with that?
Well, I talk about that in the book too, when in the stage of taking ownership of our own bodies, like coming back to what God has given us in spite of what has come against us. It's really important to keep that, the heavenly perspective of you are in a war. We are birthed into a war, and that the enemy is the enemy. Your grandmother's not the enemy. Your grandmother had lived through, she received some false messages about food and probably thinking she was helping you.
Right.
Because we were beginning to glamorize thin. Like what happened? At some point, it became important that we fit some mold. It was really in the early 20th century when the Industrial Revolution started. We were more sedentary. Jack LaLanne comes on the scene. And he means well. So your grandmother probably learned that because he holds up a bag of potato chips. You got to be careful with these things. And he means well.
Sure.
But we began to believe some things that were innocently passed on to us. So it's really important to reframe those moments of the innocence, the love of your grandmother, the love of that person, and the truth of who God is. The enemy is a liar, is the accuser of the brethren, and he works through broken vessels and people. I'm a sin. I can still prone to use that, you know, and sin in my own brokenness as well. But taking that ownership of, I don't have to take that lie on. Here's the truth. And then to do the work of reprogramming your relationship with potato chips. By the way, I have a program, Revelation Wellness, called Food is Not the Boss of Me. And I really love it. I think it's a beautiful way to just come back to a relationship with food. Because in the beginning, when you were born, you cried, you ate. When you were full, you stopped. You did not have that emotional connection to food other than I'm hungry. I need to eat. If you're hungry, you eat. When you stop, you're full, you're done. But then when emotions start to happen and you're raised in a home where maybe you were soothed with cookies or candies or something, you start to make that dopamine connection in your brain, things get really wonky. But we can reprogram. We can begin to look at food as a good thing. The enemy accuses good things and destroys it. But it does take this representing it back in light of the gospel and what God has said and called good. And I can also just say one more thing. Man, we also have to break up, Lisa, with the fact, whatever ideal you think your body should be, just stop it. Stop it now. End
That's good.
It.
Yep.
What can your body do? Celebrate in the thanksgiving of it. If you live in a heart of thanksgiving, I got up today. I don't have back pain today. My shoulders feel good. I can breathe. I can move. I do believe, and we've talked about this offline, but movement is really important, everyone. Your body was made to move. So just move. As a lot of people go, Lisa, how should I start exercising? How should I don't forget exercising. Don't think of it as exercising. How can I move a little bit more today? How can I move? Just move. And then from that, maybe you do find I have 30 minutes. I'm going to get stronger now because I want to feel strong, not because I want to change the size or shape of my body. I want to feel strong. I want to think strongly. And there's something called embodied cognition, meaning however and whatever you do with your body is talking to your mind. You might have heard that woman who does power poses. She did a big TED talk. Like if you go into a meeting that you're scared about or something, if you just take your arms and put them up over your head and hold that victorious posture for like 3 to 5 minutes, testosterone levels go up and you walk into that meeting more. Okay. And that to me, that's what our body's for. Let your body be a part of the gospel. And forget this. I need to have, I'm getting old, or I'm worried about the fear of getting fat or getting old and getting weak. Never, everything from love, guys, everything from love, celebrating what your body can do. Your body is for ability, not vanity.
Now that is a word. I was going to ask you several questions, but you pretty much answered them in that whole message.
My rant.
I loved it. No, that is so powerful. You know, one of the things that I really hope that you heard there in what Alisa said, but also I just want to tack on, I can't say it any better than her. And certainly you need to get the book, The Body Revelation, because it will help you so much. You don't need to overcomplicate this. You simply need to move. If you have the ability to move any part of your body, then move that part of the body. I mean, literally a stretch, a turn, a movement, a raising your arms up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting. My mom, who's a small little lady, we were at her ranch a couple of years ago, and she was lifting these bags of corn. Now, they weren't full bags of corn, because if you've ever seen full bags of corn to feed animals, these are large bags, right? Mm-hmm, and I was concerned. And even though they weren't full bags, you know, here, my mom is very small, and she was lifting these bags of corn. And I said, Mom, you need to be careful, you know, and you do need to be careful when you get older that you don't pull out your back or something, because you can do that. But I said, Mom, you know, you need to be careful with that. And she said, listen, this is great, great exercise for me. She said, this is better than if I had a gym membership. And she was just simply moving her body by picking up these bags of corn to feed the animals. And it really was inspiring to me. She always inspires me. But I love the fact that she was simply just doing daily things in her space, which you know, is this ranch that she and her husband operate on and live on, and just moving her body by lifting a bag of corn. And so whatever you have in your area, whatever you have at your home to do, you know, that's one of the things I love about Elise. If you don't follow her on social media, you need to, because she gives these tips. You know, if you sit at your desk all day, which is me, that's me, guys, you know, you get up every, you know, every hour, move around. She's taught me to twist my body a little bit, do these silly bends. Listen, I was walking through a parking lot the other day at a gas station, flapping my arms. This woman stopped me. She said, listen, you'll love this, Elisa. She said, you know, you're not going anywhere. Like you're not going to fly off. I said, oh, I know. I said, I'm trying to get my lymphatic system going. I sounded like such a stinking expert. But the thing about it is you really just need to move. And I don't spend a lot of time in regret. You don't want to lament the years that you could move and you didn't move. Yeah. And you really, really just need to do it today moving forward. So, Alisa, I just thank you for the gift that you are to the body of Christ. I thank you for this book, The Body Revelation, which, by the way, I endorsed. Give us just a last word on something about Jesus. Because, you know, the last question that I always ask is, what's the last thing you'd say about Jesus if you could say one more thing? So just tell us one nugget about Jesus as we go out today.
The Word was made flesh. Jesus, a body was prepared for him, broken for us, so that we could have restored relationship with God, and a body filled with hope and joy and peace. And the ability to make heaven seen happens because of our body. The Word made flesh. The Word now is looking for flesh. So let it land in yours and show the world something more beautiful than a smaller number on a scale.
So good. Get the book. Also be a part of Revelation Wellness. I'm telling you, I watch the videos and I work out along with Alisa, and it's good stuff. You will not regret it. Thank you, my friend, for being on.
Love you so much, friend.
Love you.
You've been listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts. Feel called to write or speak? Want to publish a book? Check out my community at calledcreatives.com. Trainings, expert advice, hands-on coaching, masterminds, and I'll help you finally write and publish that book.